All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem.
Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the number, at the information rather, given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, we have an enemy that seeks to destroy us, an enemy that's really worse than any terrorist imaginable. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He seeks to take advantage of us, and he has many methods to accomplish that mission. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And so God has not left us defenseless. He has given us his word, and in the scriptures, his word, we can find and see those devices that the Satan uses. One of those devices is in the things that are said. And of course, we must understand that though Satan does not speak to us directly, he has those of his followers, those of his own disciples. So can we recognize the voice of Satan that truly is one of his devices? Because we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 21 and 22, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. That's the rendering in the New King James. The King James says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Certainly one of the voices that Satan has is a voice of discontent. And we see that coming into play in Genesis chapter 3. There, beginning with verse 1, we find that Satan, speaking to Eve, says, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. And then the next statement that Satan makes in verse 5 creates within Eve that discontent. So here is Satan speaking in a voice to create discontent. Verse 5, for God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. From that point on, Eve partakes of the fruit. Not only does she do it, but she gives it to her husband, and he does eat. That desire to be made wise, to know good from evil, to be discontent, not knowing, to be discontent, not having that kind of wisdom. That's what Satan did. He spoke to Eve, the voice of discontent. But also Satan has a voice of intimidation. In the story of Goliath and the children of Israel, as they come up against the Philistines, and Goliath is this huge giant that everyone, including King Saul of Israel, is afraid of. And yet we read about in 1 Samuel 17, obviously Satan using Goliath to speak intimidation words to the children of Israel. So we read beginning in verse 8 of 2 Samuel 17, that Goliath stood and called out to the armies of Israel and said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together." When Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So we see then that in all of this, that Satan used Goliath to try and to intimidate. And he did a good job of it. He intimidated Saul and he intimidated the armies that were under the leadership of Saul. But of course, it wasn't until David arrived at the scene that David was not fooled by the intimidation of Goliath. So sometimes we see Satan using this tactic to discourage us, to keep us from doing the things that we know that are right, the things that we know that we need to be doing, the voice of intimidation. But also, Satan has a voice wherein he speaks ridicule. We read about this in Nehemiah, where they are returning back, Israel is returning back from Babylonian captivity, and they're rebuilding Jerusalem. They're rebuilding the walls, and they're rebuilding the temple of Jerusalem. But not all was well, not all went smoothly. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, "But it so happened when Sanballat heard that they were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, 'What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heap of rubbish, stones that are burned?' Now Tobiah and the Amorite was beside him, and he said, 'Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall.'" So you see the ridicule, and that served to discourage Israel. Had it not been for the prophets, Nehemiah and Jeremiah and others, then we see that the city was laid off on building until they again renewed their interest. But we see what happens when people are ridiculed for doing what they need to be doing, ridiculed for doing what they ought to be doing. It serves to discourage. It serves to bring things to a halt. It brings things to a slowdown, if not a halt, that we are not zealous in that which we're doing. See, Satan has his devices. Satan knows what he's doing. Satan knows how he can take advantage of us. But also we read in Nehemiah, a little bit later in chapter 6, it says, "Now it happened," in verse 4, "that they set this message four times, and he said, 'I answered them in the same manner.'" So we see then that it happened that when Sanballat, Tobiah, Goshen, the Arab, and rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall and that there was no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, 'Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Onan.' But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, 'I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?' And then we see that they sent him this message four times. And Nehemiah says, "I answered them in the same manner." So it was in chapter 4 that they're trying to ridicule the building of the wall, rebuilding of the wall, saying that even if as much as the fox leans against it, it'll fall over. Now the wall is finished. in chapter 6. Are they finished? Is Sanballat and his companions finished? No. They now allow Satan to be the instrument through which they try to have compromise. The wall is built. Now, you know, come down and let's meet together among the villages, and that Nehemiah saw through all of this as well. So the voice of Satan can be sometimes very subtle, but yet nevertheless it is the voice of Satan. And then there was the voice of pride that Naaman accepted, that at first he didn't realize he was accepting and heeding the voice of Satan. Naaman the leper, you remember in 2 Kings 5, verse 11, he became furious, and he went away and said, "Indeed, I said to myself, he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. But are not Abana and Pharpar the rivers of Damascus better than the rivers of Israel? Should I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and he went away in a rage. Naaman listened to the voice of pride, had his mind already made up, and when things didn't work out that way, he, as he says, became furious. So we see that truly Satan uses whoever, whatever, and whenever to try to get advantage. We know that Paul had those that were hounding him in the first century, and he wrote about them in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13 when he said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose ends will be according to their works." How did Jesus answer the voice of Satan? How did Jesus answer? What was his answer to discontent? You remember in Matthew 4, verse 2, it said that when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. And then the tempter came to him, and he said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Jesus answered that by saying in verse 4, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Jesus also answered the voice of Satan's in intimidation. In the same passage, Matthew 4, we read in verse 5, "Then the devil took him up into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone.' But Jesus said in verse 7, 'It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God.'" That was Jesus' answer to intimidation that Satan was trying to use upon him. Then there was the voice of pride that Satan tried to use, and yet look at Jesus' answer to that in Matthew 4, verse 8. "Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, 'Of these things, already all these things, I will give you if you will fall down and worship me.' But Jesus answers that in verse 10 when he said, 'For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve.'" Friends, can we recognize the voice of Satan? How will we answer the voice of Satan? A lot of our eternal destiny depends upon the answers to these questions. We need to understand the enemy that we face and understand that there's no holds barred when it comes to what the devil will or will not do if he can only deceive us to get us to sin, to keep us in sin. Friends, we see our time is gone. Thank you so much for listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's under then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.